Credit Crunch hits a half trillion.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Bannock-Smith. Banks have written down more than $500 billion since the subprime mortgage meltdown began. That's according to a tally by Bloomberg. A $5 billion write-down from UBS pushed things over the top. The Swiss bank has now lost a total of $44 billion, putting it in third place for total write-downs. The silver medalist is Merrill Lynch, with nearly $52 billion worth of red ink. Citigroup takes the gold with $55 billion in write-downs. All that has hammered bank stocks and sent the markets on a dive. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost nearly 1.2% yesterday. London's FTSE and Germany's DAX are both down around 0.5%. And Russia's index is set to be the worst performer this quarter. It's down more than 20% since June, mostly because of falling oil prices and the conflict with Georgia. Markets aside, the Russians are making major inroads into the U.S. steel industry, as Stephen Beard reports.
This is the biggest takeover in the global steel industry this year. Novolipetsk of Russia is paying $3.5 billion for John Manili. The Ohio-based company is not a steelmaker itself, but it is one of the biggest manufacturers of pipes and tubes in America. Its products are used widely in plumbing, scaffolding, and electric wiring. Analyst Henry Cook says the two companies will make a perfect fit.
Russia itself is a very low-cost place to make basic steel products. Those products can be exported from Russia into the States to feed plants like John Manili so that they can then add the value.
Russian steelmakers are now a major presence in the U.S. They now control almost 10% of U.S. steelmaking capacity, and that investment's likely to grow as the Kremlin encourages Russian companies to make more and more acquisitions abroad. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
We still have a couple weeks of summer left. That's peak travel season with big crowds and, of course, long waits. Now the government wants to improve the notorious delay situation at airports in the New York area. Part of the plan involves rerouting flights, and that's ruffling some very affluent feathers. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Richfield, Connecticut is one of several towns that's suing the FAA for trying to shift the flight paths. Rudy Marconi is Richfield's top official. He admits his resistance may sound a little selfish, still.
There's no reason for us to sit back and say that's fine, relocate 150 to 300 flights a day right down the throat of Fairfield County. We're not going to be that easy, and we're not going to accept that.
Marconi says the FAA hasn't explored all the alternatives. But Michael E. Levine of the NYU School of Law says the Connecticut towns may see planes thousands of feet overhead, but they'll barely hear them.
A modern jet airliner flying over at that altitude makes what you could call background noise.
Levine says the proposed changes will mean more noise for some areas near Newark. He says the lawsuits are holding up the FAA's plan to reduce delays, and that's bad for everyone. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
For those who would rather watch people jump out of planes, Comcast and MGM are launching an all-action video-on-demand channel. The Impact Channel will offer everything from James Bond to The Terminator. Could be a big moneymaker. So far this year, action films have generated $2.5 billion at the box office.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Some Olympic sponsors are not feeling like winners. Adidas, McDonald's, and Samsung are among those who shelled out millions to showcase their brand on the Olympic green. That's usually the main gathering point at the Games. Companies were expecting around 200,000 visitors a day, but China's restricting the crowds on the green and pretty much only letting ticket holders in. Chinese businesses are wondering where the people are, too, as Jamila Trindle reports.
A huge influx of foreign tourists was expected in Beijing hotels and restaurants.
You also find that if you look at some of the stadiums, you'd be surprised there are a lot of empty seats, even for main sort of good matches.
Paul Moreno runs Wild China, a tour company for upscale foreigners. He says his average customer is staying for only 4 days and three nights. So far, he's already seen nearly a 20% no-show rate for guests, but he's hoping that will improve as the games move on to finals and marquee events like track and field.
I think we're in the early days in the preliminaries, and you know, maybe next week you might see an influx.
Even if there is an influx, it probably won't be enough to fill all the hotels and restaurants. That's led to some disappointment, especially since tourism officials predicted hundreds of thousands of foreign visitors. Du Zhang is with China's Tourism Administration.
We're expecting 400,000 to 500,000 foreign visitors and 20,000 journalists. Together with domestic tourists, we expect about 1 million visitors in Beijing.
That's the government estimate, but business owners say they aren't seeing those numbers. Chou Chongji owns three restaurants and a bar in Beijing. He was planning to open a boutique hotel right before the Olympics, but has decided to put that off. He says competition is fierce.
If you go around town, for one thing, you see is there's so many hotels on the street now, big, small, five-star, two-star. So it's really a lot.
Cho saw a slower-than-expected summer leading up to the Olympics, so he's trying to keep his expectations realistic.
It will be better than normal, but I guess we may have much too high expectation, or it may not be real.
And those high expectations may lead to Olympic-sized disappointment for Chinese businesses. In Beijing, I'm Jamila Trindle for Marketplace.
Of course, all publicity isn't necessarily good publicity. Playboy model Kendra Wilkinson is one of Hugh Hefner's three girlfriends. She stars in the reality show The Girl Next Door, and she loves the Olive Garden.
If I had to estimate how many times I've been to the Olive Garden, it would probably have to be maybe in the hundreds.
Wilkinson also loves the employees of the Italian food chain. She even staged a Girls of the Olive Garden photo shoot. The restaurant reportedly has mixed feelings about the unexpected exposure. Where's a fig leaf when you need one? In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.